Thanks, Lauren. Okay, sorry. So the particular words that reached out to me that I have been hearing recently, but I have been hearing for a long time, is, you know, we just don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe who we think we are. We have a sense of disconnection, of separation, and like the singer Lauren Diagle, I think is her name. She spoke so beautifully of how others perceive us, how God perceives us, but yet we cannot find that space within us to feel that oneness, unity, wholeness. So for example, she said, "You say I am loved, but I don't feel a thing. You say I am held, but here it is, I am not knowing or not feeling that embrace." So this talk today, the Kingdom of Heaven, kind of encapsulates our consciousness of who we think we are, who we are in God, who we are as a whole. So this book, How to Change Your Life, the book we are having conversations about in our study group by Ernest Holmes, is basically a book that I have been using at one of our mental health clinics at Fort Belvoir for maybe 2 years. It has been a book in our bookshelves, and I have found so much usefulness in sharing what's in this book. One, that I didn't bring the book to the hospital. They brought it. They ordered it. And they must have seen some value for healing when they ordered a book like this to be part of the curriculum. And so when I saw it, I just ran with it. And so that, again, gave me a lot of impetus to speak of healing and health on a wider basis. So today we are going to consider the Kingdom of Heaven. So yeah, Judy, I am so, so proud of you and how inspired you were to bring a book like this to our circle and to present the different aspects of the principles of science of mind. Because what this book does in a really way is to link science and religion, plus it gives techniques as to how to live in the wholeness. So part of the principles and techniques we talk about is what Dennis Holmes have written, you know, the what we as a science of mind philosophy embody, the belief system. And today's belief system, he talked about, we believe that the Kingdom of Heaven is within us and that we experience the Kingdom in the degree that we become conscious of it. So I'm just going to read this first paragraph from the book, How to Change Your Life. The Kingdom of Heaven means the kingdom of harmony, of peace, of joy, and of wholeness. It is an inward kingdom. This is why Jesus said that we should not lay up treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Heaven is not a place, but an inward state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. It is an inward awareness of divine harmony and an inward awareness of truth. And that truth is something that I usually have to stop and take a deep breath about, because that truth is the truth deep within us, the core truth, the God truth, the center truth. And yet there is this obstacle, this barrication, this film that goes over our light and lightness of who we are and unity of who we are to bring us to a state of disbelief, of doubt, of fear, right? And so as we go down in the reading on this paragraph, the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. That's from Ezekiel. The glory of God, Lenny says, fills everyone's consciousness who is aware of that glory. And this is where our awareness of our own consciousness kicks in, right? We believe that heaven is within us, right? So what is this kingdom of heaven? So as per Ernest Holmes, he talks about peace, harmony, joy, wholeness. We can add a whole lot more to that. The kingdom of heaven, if we have to look at it in our five-step or five stages of treatment, would be in that recognition stage where God is all the qualities that we know God to be. And I usually go with the, you know, the omnipotent, with all-powerful. We go with the all-present. But God is so much more. God is also all the amazing creatures that Lavanya spoke about and that Connie has been sharing with us all week on Facebook. God is land, God is the earth, God is the grass, God is each and everyone presented, right? This is us in the flesh, in an earthly way. And this is how God expresses in us, as us, through us. And this is the only way we can literally, what's the word? We can literally link ourselves to the Godness, air quote, of who of our situations, of our experiences, and of everything. God is truly one. God is a unity. God is a whole. So, in the Science of Mind, we read that we are told that God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the immediate availability of the divine is neither in the mountain nor a temple, neither here nor there. For behold, the kingdom is within. So there were many references in the book, which was said in terms of parables about, you know, how we can find God, how we know God, how we can be in unity with God. There was also a reference where Ernest talked about whatever is within is also without. And it's for us to see that unity, for us to see that balance. So the key to the kingdom of heaven is, well, what is a kingdom? What? Why kingdom? In my estimation and in my insight, a kingdom is generally royal. A kingdom is something that is all encompassing. And that comes with a lot of with a lot of, for want of a better word, I'm going to use the word gifts, but it comes with thrills, and it comes with everything that one desires, right? In one of the books, in one of the passages in the Science of Mind textbook, it says, you know, that all good things are given to those, well, I don't think I'm saying it the right way, but it is said it's God's something to give us the kingdom, which means it is, everything is there for us already, right? So with Ernest quoting parables, I'm going to take us to the Science of Mind book, which is on page 432, and I would read from what we call the Divine Bounty. Page 432, the Divine Bounty. Okay. So I'm going to read. As God cares for the birds who do not gather into barns, so shall we be cared for if we trust and do not doubt. But we are to seek the kingdom first. Jesus bade us to completely trust in God for everything and in every instance. He had a complete reliance upon God. Dare we say that such a confidence will be misplaced? Have we ever tried it? Until we have tried and failed, we are not in a position to contradict this theory. So it went on to talk about truly be in that childlike state in order to understand and in order to interpret how to become available to this oneness, to this, to be consciously aware that what I am experiencing is God in its fullest. And how one of the ways Ernest asked us, and as well Jesus also mentioned as from the Christian Bible, is that we become as children. So that's one of the, you know, have a childlike view of our own, of the perspective that our parents have put out there for us. As a child, even as a baby, we are intuitive, right? We have a whole lot of we work from a whole lot of intuition. We know when to turn towards the breast because it's feeding time. We know how to trust that we are going to be taken care of. We know how to turn towards our parents for our every good deed. And this is the same comparison that Ernest Holmes is making about how we use our childlike trust to be able to open up and to know that all our riches, all our goodness, all our God-given experiences are in the oneness, in the fullness, if we only not fear. In part of the Science of Mind talked about fear is the opposite of faith, right? So when fear kicks in, for wherever that comes from, it literally obliterates our faith, all right? Maybe not fully, but partially. But fear and faith are on different sides of the spectrum. And I had made, while in meditation, for some great reason, and I know what's that reason, spirit-led, God-led, I was referred to the conversations of God, conversations with God, which is the book one from Neil Donald Walsh. And I went directly to chapter 4 on page 88. And that literally explained a whole lot more to me. So even if, you know, we started off with Science of Mind, and then we went to the Bible, and now we are with Course in Miracles, and now, you know, Neil Donald Walsh Conversation with God, I just want to share with you some of the conversations, because in what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing is just this one continuity of me getting to the experience that I wanted to show up within myself first, but also an experience in which I wanted to share what is this common unity, what is this, you know, heaven that is within us, and how could we access it? So very quickly, I'm going to kind of leave out some parts of it, but there is a part that I definitely need to share with you before we close off. I know we started a little bit late, so we're going to have to do a lot of compromising. So Neil said, "Whew, you inspire me." Well, no, yes. So God, so this is God. "Well, if God can't inspire you, who in hell can?" And Neil said, "Are you always this flip?" God said, "I meant that not as a flippancy. Read it again." And then he said, "Oh, I see." And so Neil said, "However, it would be okay if I were being flipped, wouldn't it?" God said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I mixed it." Neil said, "However, it would be okay if I were," God said, "However, it would be okay if I were being flipped, wouldn't it?" And Neil said, "I don't know. I am used to my God being a little more serious, right?" And then God said, "Well, do me a favor and don't try to contain me. By the way, do yourself the same favor. It just so happens I have a great sense of humor. I'd say you'd have to when you see what you've all done with life, wouldn't you? I mean, sometimes I have to just laugh at it. It's all right though, because you see, I know it'll all come out right at the end." And so to me, that was, although it was, you know, a pretty humorous thing, it also sent me to the place that, you know, why do we take things this seriously? Why do we see God as a serious God? Why do we not see God as humor? Why do we not see God as funky? Why do we not see God as scary? Why do we not see God? Right. So the way we envision who we are within ourselves is generally how we show up in our world. However, if we can be quiet for a moment and feel that peace and feel the love and feel the unity or wholeness in everything we are doing, in God, as God, through God, and expressing through me, then we would come to that realization that it's truly not all that serious, right? So a big part of us moving forward and feeling that we are being encompassed, that's my tongue twister, but I have to say it because it really signifies the wholeness of how we are working with and as the kingdom of God. So as I mentioned to you earlier, I came upon almost a lottery as I was reading this Conversations with God. So as I kept going with the conversation and reading and was being truly amused at what I was reading, God kept, you know, God and Neil kept talking about the different things about you know, how willpower kicks in, and, you know, about individual health choices or collective health choices, as a matter of fact, and all attack is a call for help. And so they, we, you know, I read about that, but then I got to this point where I am like, wow, this is what I needed in order to remember how I could be and should be expressed as God, all inclusive, or as the kingdom of God. My consciousness, how do I get my consciousness to be in unison with what we know God to be? And what I've seen here kind of jumpstart some of my thought processing from reading something from Conversations with God. So Neil had asked about the process of creation, and God said yes, but she kept interrupting him. So I'm going to start from the point where God said, and Neil said, I kept interrupting, and then God said, that's all right, but let's just get back, because we don't want to lose the thread of something that's very important. Life is a creation, not a discovery. You do not live each day to discover what it holds for you, but to create it. You are creating your reality every minute, probably without even knowing. Here's why that is so, and how that works. All of this God is speaking. One, I have created you in the image and likeness of God. Two, God is the creator. Three, you are three beings in one. You can call these three aspects of being anything you want, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or mind, body, and spirit, or superconscious, conscious, subconscious. Four, creation is a process that proceeds from these three parts of your body. Put another way, you create all three levels. The tools of creation are thought, word, and deed. All creation begins with thought. And so why am I bringing this in is because of our level of consciousness as the kingdom of heaven within, right? So I'm going to go back to five. All creation begins with thought. All Father, which is, if we look at the thought process, it is from the universe. The universe is the beginning and the end. God is the Alpha and Omega, right? But it has a beginning, which is a thought. All creation then moves to word, which is generally ask and you shall receive, speak and it shall be done unto you. And then all creation is fulfilled in deed. And the word was made flesh and dwelled among us. So what I had perceived from this is that in order for us to more clearly understand and define the kingdom of heaven within us, it has to come from, one, yes, our earthly aspect, but two, we have this intuition, we have this core God space within us that reminds us that we are thinking beings, and not only are we thinking beings, but we are also asking. We constantly ask. And a part of what we talked about in what I read about was that once we ask, then everything, the thought as the process of creation, we ask for, that's the second aspect of it, which comes together, and then the doing part of it. So the three come together to make our experience, our God consciousness, to be in a very viable situation, in a very viable place. So going back to the science of mind, where are we when it comes to who we are as God? Who we are, or how do we show up? How do we show up as the consciousness of God? We go back to the conversations with God. One of the ways we show up is by incorporating that thought. But the thought, one would really want to declare, is that I am of the thought, because the I am truly moves us from fear into knowing. And unless we know that we can trust God, unless we know that God has already created a space, a heavenly space, a consciously abundant space, a place of peace, a place of unity, a place where we are not judged, a place where we are loved, a place when someone says, you say that I'm loved, but I don't feel a thing, will be diminished because of how we now incorporate and see and feel that wholeness of who we are in God. So I had to cut a whole lot out of what I needed to talk about. So I was going from page to page, hoping that I could still condense quite a bit of my thoughts from where I, you know, originated my whole talk from. And so I think I would cut it off here, but one of the key things I would like us to focus on is have a discussion about how do we show up as and incorporate the consciousness of God in our lives. You know, we talk about that divine bounty where we have to assume that childlike attitude. You know, my mind goes back to Lubania all the time when we come to that, because as children, as babies, we certainly didn't really, really rely upon a parenting type of atmosphere. And as God's creation, God's creatures, we also have to depend on this God-like atmosphere that God has already put in place for us. So how do we consistently adopt this consciousness of unity? And I'll close for right now, and we'll take a break at this point in time.